Okay, so again, we're going to begin with the Mishnah Berura in Tafayin Beis, Se'if Yud Aleph. I want to try to finish Tafayin Beis with you guys today. Tafayin Beis Se'if Yud Aleph. The Mechaber writes that Mitzvah Lachzar Achar Yayin Edom in Ein Halovan Meshubach Mimenu. There's a mitzvah to try to have red wine unless white wine is better. If white wine is better, so then you should have white wine. There are two reasons the Mishnah Berurah writes in Sifkot Lamed Ches for trying to use red wine. One reason is that the pasuk says Al Teira Yayin Ki Yis Adom, which implies that wine is red. Moreover, Zecher L'Dam, moreover, using red wine commemorates the dam, the bad, the blood of the Jews that was shed, and that's why you use dam. So, a few ha'aros on this se'if. Actually, then the Mishnah Berurah comments, excuse me, that if you're at a time and place where there is a worry for blood libels, then you should not use red wine. Adkan. So a few ha'aros that we can make on this se'if. First of all, the halacha is that red wine is red wine is preferred to white wine. I know, but I have to give shear. Halacha is that red wine is preferred to white wine unless the white wine is better. What that means for cha'ora is if a person prefers white wine, you should drink white wine, that's clear. But it's also clear that you should drink wine that you find appealing. You should choose for the Seder wine that you like. Sometimes people make a mistake and they try to have very frim wine for the Seder. I'm not into frim, Kate.
I'm very learned. I'm always incredibly learned.
You don't want you don't want to use wine that you don't enjoy. The main thing is that you should enjoy you should enjoy the the wine that you drink, and consequently that is better. It's better to have wine that you enjoy. Now, the halacha, the halacha also is, one second. Now, there's a whole discussion, excuse me, in the poskim, that let's say you have white wine. If you have white wine, should you try to dafka redden it? Should you try to add color to the wine so that it becomes red? Now, l'cha'ora, this should depend on the two reasons that the Mishnah Berurah quotes. Now, if the halacha is based on the pasuk about Teira Yayin Ki Yis Adom, so we could suggest that that's a halacha in the wine itself. If you're adding some color to the wine, so that doesn't make it red wine. However, if the halacha is zecher l'dam, if it's to remind us of the blood, so then adding color will also sufficiently remind us of the blood, and therefore that will count for the hiddur of red wine. Okay, they quote actually in the Dirshu Mishnah Berurah that many of the poskim say that adding color to the wine does not make it into red wine. They quote that Reb Chaim Kanievsky said this, etc. Okay, I don't know exactly how exciting that is. It seems to me it depends on the two reasons. Now, there's another question. If you want to make your white wine red, are you allowed to do it on Yontif? This might be the malacha of... Okay, Chefer, we learned this? Dying. It's Tzoveya. Now, we have a... So either you're adding food coloring to it, or you put some red wine into the white wine, or you add grape juice into the white wine, or something. Basically, you're coloring your wine, because you want this milah of red wine at the Seder, this very important milah. But that might be Melachat Soveya. Now, we learned in the Shulchan Aruch, when we did the Melachat Soveya, that Ein Seviya Ba'uchlam, that there's no din of Soveya when it comes to food. In Chacham Uvadya's Chuvah in Yechavadas, so he quotes in the Ben Ishchai that maybe the rule is only Ein Soveya Ba'ochlin, but there's no rule of Ein Soveya B'mashkim. It seems to me that this is not a Hasidic joke, but this is a Sephardic joke. because to say that there's a difference in Ochlem and Mashkim doesn't make any sense. However, it seems to me that still is a problem. Because the reason for Ein Tzoveya ba'Ochlem is because the Melacha of Tzoveya is a significant change. Tzoveya means I had plain white wool beforehand, and I significantly change it. I make it black, I make it red, something like that. A food is primarily intended to be something that we eat. So you're not making a significant change if you color the food. It doesn't matter if it is a red Cheerio or a pink Cheerio. A red Cheerio and a pink Cheerio are both considered Cheerios. So the Chaora, that should not matter. Therefore, the Mishnah Berurah quotes in the Chayo Adam there in Hilchis Shabbos by the Melech of Tzeveya, the Mishnah Berurah quotes in the Chayo Adam that let's say a merchant is dyeing his stuff in order to sell it, right? If the merchant knows that only red Ferraris sell. If you have a blue Ferrari, it doesn't sell. And even if you have a blue candy Ferrari, it's not going to sell. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes on the Chayei Adam that you're not allowed to dye it on Shabbos. That we do not apply the rule of Ein Tzoveya Ba'Ochlem when it's Kavanoso L'Tzboa. When what you really want to do is dye it. So it would seem to me that L'Chaora, in this case, when I'm dyeing my wine, because I dafka want red wine for the Seder, so since it's Kavanoso L'Tzboa, so therefore it seems to me that you're not supposed to do it on Yontif, because it would be the Melacha of Tzoveya, and this whole discussion that we have is whether white wine takes on the characteristics of red wine. Once it's dyed, that L'Chaora means that you dyed it before Yontif, that you're probably not allowed to dye it on Yontif itself, because that would be the Melacha of Tzoveya Ba'ochlem. Sounds good, gentlemen? Excellent. Okay, I got one thumbs up. Next. You know, the wine might be red because it commemorates the dam. Thank you. You gave me a thumbs up sign. Yashar koach. So the wine might be red because it commemorates the dam. Nonetheless, I still recline when I drink wine. No? I do haseba. Now, this, of course, is really problematic when you think about it. No? Because why am reclining is a sign of freedom. The blood is a sign of slavery. How can we have one item that is both freedom and slavery, and still we recline when we do it? Right. This is, of course, one of the great paradoxes of the Seder, which I think is true not only of wine, it's true of maror also, no? The Gemara says that the preferred type of maror is chasa, which we translate as lettuce, or romaine lettuce, but lettuce does not have a bitter taste. We still treat that as maror. If anything, lettuce is sweet. So what I have is something that's sweet that I call maror. I have the matzah, which is a symbol of freedom, but the matzah is also a symbol of anios, of poverty. What I have is an inherent contradiction in matzah, in maror, in dalet kosos, in karpas, no? Karpas is a sweet vegetable, but I dip it into salt water. Right? For those of you who need English translation, we could say salt water, right? Instead of salt water, right? Okay, Ben, now you understand? But the point is, say. No, but in other words, I have something that on the one hand commemorates freedom. Karpas means karpasim. It means like a pillow, something that is soft, comforting. On the other hand, it commemorates the tears of the slaves. Right? That's very... you're right. Salt water might be sweet, but it still symbolizes bitterness. It symbolizes something that we don't want, no? Okay, but usually, I agree with that idea, but that idea usually means that the bitterness that I previously experienced, that bitterness is necessary to have a real feeling of freedom. But to have them at the same time is difficult. That you have contradictory feelings. Now, it happens that throughout halacha, I have contradictory feelings all the time, no? Rachmana letzlan, let's say someone loses a parent. So the Gemara says that you make a bracha baruch dayan ha'emes, no? At the same time, the person who loses a parent gets an inheritance. So you make a bracha of shehecha yano at the same time. It's really shocking, no? You have both the avelos and the simcha at the same time. Rabina Hirsch writes in the 19 letters that the notion of God is that the ability to harmonize diametric opposites. I actually find this to be a very insightful comment, that the Ribbono Shel Olam appears to us both as Midas HaRachamim and Midas HaDin. The Ribbono Shel Olam is the two opposite extremes. To some extent, when we sit down at the Seder, what we're trying to do is b'ze'er anpin, right? To our own limited extent, we're trying to experience two things together. Man can never be completely sad, nor can man ever be completely happy. Even when I'm doing haseba, even when I have matzah and I have the dalet kosos, I'm not completely happy. Because I have the sadness of avdus in the matzah, I have the sadness of the red wine that's doim el adam. Man can never be completely sad. You have maror, but the maror is a sweet tasting vegetable. Primo Levi writes in his book, Survival in Auschwitz, that he was shocked that when he was in Auschwitz, he never fully experienced sadness. I found that to be like a very profound idea, no? The man is living through abject hell. Right? He's a slave, he is watching people die all around him. Nonetheless, he says, you know what, mankind, humans, the human condition is that we cannot experience absolute sadness. It's impossible. So the point I'm trying to make about the red wine, I think, is a significant point in terms of trying to be like God and experience contradictory emotions at the same time. And it's also a comment as to what humanity is. That humans are never able to fully experience one emotion, whether this is because of what they would call a lack of mindfulness, or if it's based on something else, right? You know what mindfulness is, it's like a thing. The fact that you're supposed to be in the moment and experiencing that one thing at a time. So the idea is that if we want mindfulness appropriately, right, so then you can't have these contradictory emotions. I think the human condition is that we cannot be completely mindful at any time. So this is the first stickle tire I wanted to say. I'm interested in hearing your comments. Anyone?
As a great disaster, I prefer to see it as a great corrector. It is sent to remind us of the important lessons that we have forgotten, and it's up to us if we learn them or not. So I kind of hate this whole thing.
Why are you not a fan of the idea?
So I kind of hate this whole thing. I both hate how Bill Gates is very busy saying this is about how we're all...
And he was talking about how it's important, you know, to be mindful about partisanship and about the nature of human tribalism. And it comes up in like It seems to me that in order to be perfectly mindful all the time, you have to know exactly what all of the things that you want to focus on, because you can only do one at a time.
Okay.
And I myself don't have such a perfect understanding of all the things that I want to be mindful on that I can actually segment them and not be worried that like, there was a thing that, had I not been so intensely focused, I would have thought of or would have been able to experience. It is limiting to me.
That sounds like they started in you and not if they started at mindfulness. I mean, not to be offensive, but...
I think it's a reality. I think what Gershon is pointing out is that there's a certain reality to mindfulness, which is that the concept is impossible, which I would argue that chisaron in mindfulness is exactly what Primo Levi is arguing. It's part of the human condition that we can never be completely focused on one thing at a time. That's sort of the second point that I'm making. Like, the divine aspect of it is separate than the human aspect of it. Adkan. Sounds like a plain chevra? Any other ha'aras, or should we move on to Se'if Yud Beis? Okay, it seems to me like we're getting move on, right? Move on. So let's go. Se'if Yud Beis. Your yotze b'yayin mevushal b'konditon. Your yotze dalekosos with yayin mevushal, with cooked wine, and konditon is wine that has some spices added to it. This is against the sheet of the Rambam. The Rambam paskens like the Pashtus of the Gemara in Baba Basra, that ko yayin sheminaschen agabe hamizbeach in yotzim ba yidei chavosai. The Rambam writes that you can only be yotze, kiddush, dalekosis, any halacha that requires wine, has to be the type of wine that you could be menasech agabe hamizbeach, the type of wine that you could pour on the mizbeach. We do not hold like the Rambam, but the Mishnah Brura in Sifkat and Lamites writes that lechatchila you should be choshish for the Rambam and use yayin she'eino mevushal. Now, when I speak about lechatchila, you have to know what you're up against. If yayin she'eino mevushal, of course, would lead to problems because you have people at your seder who are not shomer Shabbos and potentially can make it into stam yeinom, not if they touch the wine. This is like a popular misconception in Judaism. People think that if a goy or a non-religious Jew touches a bottle of wine, that makes it non-kosher. That's not true. The halacha is only if you pour the wine and some of it, or you swish it around, only then does it become non-kosher. The Shach writes this beferish in Yeridei Kuf Chof Gimel, that it doesn't become non-kosher if you just touch the bottle. But you have to realize, if you add a seder with people who are non-observant, so then having non-mevushal wine is not a good idea. I should note also that non-mevushal wines often have a higher alcohol content than mevushal wines, and therefore it might not be the best idea to use one that has a high alcohol content. And also it seems to me, like we mentioned beforehand, that the ikar din of wine at the seder is supposed to be derech cheres, supposed to be something that I enjoy, and as such, if you're going to use non-mevushal wine, that also has nothing added to it, no? For the Rambam, even if I add sugar to the wine, I'm not yotze, because it's wine with sugar cannot be poured on the mizbeach. So, it seems to me that it's frummer to have good-tasting wine than to have frum non-mevushal wine. Okay, chevra? Again, that's a whole discussion in the Gemara and the Poskim, but even if you see them, potentially it could be a problem, or let's say it could be a problem if I walk out of the room for a minute, I'm not watching. You know, you're right, the Gemara says that if a goy is left alone with wine, and the Jew might come back at any moment, there's no concern of stam yena, but that's only in the case that the goy is left alone with the wine, and we don't know that the goy actually touched the wine, or actually swooshed around the wine. If the guy actually swooshes around the wine, that could be a problem. Yeah. So the issue of stam yeinam is based on two things. It's based on avodah zarah, and it's based on the concern of nisui taroves, a concern of chasnos, a concern that you might marry the guy. Just like Bishul Akum is based on that you might marry the guy, Stam Yenam is also based on the din that you might marry the goy. So the issue is that if a goy touches the wine, that could lead to some sense of kiruv hadas, or etc. Or I should say better, the pashta says that the din of wine as a din of chasnus is more likely in the case when the goy manufactured the wine, as opposed to a guy who just touches the wine. and touching the wine might be more based on the Avodah Zarah reason. Nonetheless, the two reasons always coalesce in halacha, and you have to work very hard to understand how that works. Good? You have a comment, Mr. Clapper? No. Okay, excellent. So that is the din of Sifyud Beis. Next, Sifyud Gimel. Afilo ani amespanis min atstoka yimkar malbusho o yove o yasker atzum b'shul yain la'abrakaisis. The din is that even an ani who is supported by tztaka is supposed to sell literally the shirt off his back in order to have dalin kosos. Now, obviously, this should never happen in Judaism. There is a responsibility of the community to support the aniyim. And that means that the community's tztaka fund is supposed to make sure that there's no one who will not have wine for dalin kosos. But if the community tztaka fund doesn't have it, so then the halacha is that the ani himself has to sell his shirt in order to have dalin kosos. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik used to say that we only find this issue in halacha. They should be mechazer al hapsachim. They should go collecting in order to do a mitzvah. Usually, in order to do a mitzvah, you have to be. You don't exert yourself too much to do mitzvahs. Right? The din is that hider mitzvahs on shlish be mitzvah. You don't spend more than chumash nechasav to do a mitzvah. You don't give up your last penny to do a mitzvah. Only this mitzvah of dalekosis. A few other mitzvahs are like this, but very few mitzvahs. Do we see that the poor person should spend the last of his money in order to do the mitzvah? So Moshe Soloveitchik commented that the reason for this is because the mitzvah of dalin kosos is fundamentally a mitzvah persume nisa. Persume nisa means that everyone has an obligation to publicize to the world, to the best of his or her ability, that Kadosh Baruch Hu did miracles to us. And therefore, because you have that obligation, that's why everyone has to be involved. That's the basic halacha of Persume Nisa. We would have the same by Chanukah, and we'd have the same by Purim. Those are the three dinim, although Chanukah and Purim are drabonon, and Dalakais is also drabonon, but Be'ikar, the Yontem of Pesach, is a Yontem in HaTorah. Right, those are the mitzvahs of Persume Nisa. Of course, if it's a mitzvah persume nisa, we should recite the bracha of she'osa nisim la'avosin v'yom ha'im b'zman hazeh, and we don't recite that bracha by dalek kosos. And that's a real question. How come we don't recite the bracha of she'osa nisim when we drink dalek kosos? Again, that's also a question for either advanced Talmud or for you to think about. And when I say these things, obviously what that means is I don't know the answer myself, hence I throw it at you and I say, why don't you think about it? That's basically what I'm trying to do. Okay, any other ha'aros here on Se'if Yud Gimel? Okay, let's go on. Se'if Yud Dalet. Gam ha'noshim chayovas ba'arba kosos u'v'chom mitzvahs ha'nohagos ba'oso ha'layla. Women are also obligated in dalin kosos, and they're obligated in all the mitzvahs of the night. The fact that women are obligated in dalin kosos is because the Gemara tells us in Psachim and Megillah, af hein hayu ba'oso hanes, that the miracle happened to the women as well, although the famous Rashbam, that's called the Taisus and Megillah Daf Daled, who says that af hein hayu ba'oso hanes means that the women were the ikar of the miracle. By Chanukah there's Yehudis, by Purim there's Esther, and on Pesach, the women were the ikar because b'schus nashim tzidkaniyos nigalu avosin mitzrayim. That's because of the righteous women that we left Mitzrayim. So Rashbam assumes that women are the ikar, and that's why they're chayv and dalet kosos. But it doesn't say that women are only chayv in dalek kosos. It says that women are also chayv in all the mitzvahs of the night. The question is that a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabbanan? We know that we have mitzvahs which are mitzvahs eshe shazram grima, and they're exempt from them. Sometimes there are exceptions to the yisoda mitzvahs eshe shazram grima. And in fact, the Gemara teaches me that matzah is an exception to mitzvahs eshe shazram grima. The Gemara tells you there's a rule, kosher yeshlo batul chametz, yeshlo b'kum mechol matzah. That there's a hekesh between the din of chametz and matzah. That hekesh means that you can only make matzah from something that could be chametz. And that hekesh also means that anyone who is forbidden to eat chametz is obligated to eat matzah. Kosher yeshlo batul chametz, yeshlo b'kum mechol matzah. Since women are including the lav of chametz, they include the mitzvah asei of matzah. Grand. So women are chayiv in dalakosis, afin hoyabos hanes. They're chayiv in matzah because of this dindo eraisa of kosher yashno. It's like a hekesh. What about sipur yitzis mitzrayim? Are women obligated in sipur yitzis mitzrayim? Now the answer, of course, is yes. But the question is why? Do I assume that women are obligated in sipur yitzis mitzrayim as a way of fulfilling dalakosis? That since the dalakosis have to be based on or surrounded by the story of Mitzrayim, so that's why women are obligated in Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Or do I say that women are obligated in Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim based on the mitzvah of matzah? Matzah has to be, the Gemara Pesachim Daf Lamed Vav tells me, Lechem Sha'onim Olav Dvarim Harbe, something bread that you talk about. You say a lot on the bread. That's the mitzvah of matzah. So one could argue that women are obligated in Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim based on Dalakosis, or that women are obligated in Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim based on Matzah. The Nafka Mina is the Chiyuv of Nashim Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is a Din D'oraisa or a Din D'rabbanan. If you hold it's based on Dalakosis, then it's a Din D'rabbanan. But if you hold it's based on the Mitzvah of Achilas Matzah, then it's a Din D'oraisa. That's the Chaora. This question. I remember when I was in high school, so before Yontiv of Pesach, we heard a shiur from the Rosh Kollel of Yeshiva Farakur, Rabbi Moshe Brown. He's a tremendous Talmud Chacham. I remember Rabbi Brown commented that you have to read the piyut for Shabbos HaGadol. The piyut for Shabbos HaGadol is a very halachic piyut. It was authored by Reb Yosef Bonfis. Bonfis is good son, good boy in French. And in Rabbinic Hebrew, he's called Reb Yosef Tuv Elam. That's the author of the Piyot for Shabbos HaGadol. And in the Piyot, it goes by the Aleph Beis, and letter Samach begins, Sachu Shanoshin Tzvichus La'amtza. Sachu means the speech, that women have to be strong in, B'chom Mili DePischa B'loi Shimtza. They have to be Chayiv in every bit of Pesach without any disgust, they should do the mitzvah in the optimal way. Af LP shemitzvah esei shazman grama bumbo nimsa, despite the fact that women are exempt from mitzvah esei shazman grama, nonetheless, koshiyeshna b'atol chacham esiyeshna b'kum b'chol matzah. So it's preferred in the piyut of Shabbos HaGadol that the reason why women are obligated in Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is because koshiyeshna b'atol chachamet. Yes, no, b'kol achol matzah. If you have to eat, if you have the prohibition of chametz, and you have the mitzvah of achilas matzah. So that's beferish, that's a din in, that it's a din in the matzah, which would imply that's a din d'oraisa. So there's a third mahalach over here that Rebbe Yoshev has in his tshuvas. Rebbe Yoshev writes that the reason why women are obligated in Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is because Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim was based on leaving Mitzrayim, and leaving Mitzrayim happened before we got the Torah at Har Sinai, and only once we get the Torah at Har Sinai do we have a distinction between men and women, in that women are exempt from mitzvah seishas shazman grama and men are obligated. If that's the case, so since this is pre Yetzias Mitzrayim, so maybe that's why women are chayavos. I don't understand it. It seems to me that maybe the stuff that I was obligated in the Mitzrayim was matzah, murder. That's what the pasuk says. It seems to me that there is no mitzvah of Sipo Yetzias Mitzrayim when we are in Pesach Mitzrayim. It seems like inconceivable that there would be such a mitzvah. So, although Rebbe Yoshev is an Orthodox Jew, and he had a beard, and everything like that, but I don't like the Shtickel Torah of Rebbe Yoshev. It seems to me... Yeah, what, Ben? So it is an independent mitzvah. But like many mitzvahs which are independent, that doesn't mean that there's no link. In other words, if I count the mitzvahs, again, the Rambam Meizasi Bashi, he doesn't count Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim independently as a mitzvah in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, but nonetheless, it's clear that telling the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim is a mitzvah, but it is a mitzvah that although it's independent, it's also connected. The fact that Dalet Kosos, the fact that Dalet Kosos have to be done al haseder, which means through telling the story of Mitzias Mitzrayim. The fact that Matzos lechem sha'unim olav dvarim harbe. The fact that Rabbi Gamliel said koshal omar shloisha dvarim elu b'pesach l'yotzi dechovoso, including matzah. So that means that Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim and matzah are connected. So yes, it's an independent mitzvah, but it's also connected. I don't know if it's shayich to completely separate them. The question is, what's the chiyuv of women in Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? Is it based on Dalet Kosos or is it based on a matzah? Now, I should add that we noted a bir halacha, the beginning of the siman, where the bir halacha notes that although the lashon of the Rashbam in Psachim is that when we say you have to drink Dalet Kosos al haseder, that means that you have to tell the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. You need Haggadah between the Kosos, but the Mishneh Berurah and the Bir Halacha entertain the idea that maybe Dalet Kosos al Haseder just means that you have to have some break between the Kosos. If I do the drinking game, right? Remember, we spoke about the drinking game, right? If I just drink four cups, one after the other, I don't fulfill the mitzvah, I need to break it up with something. But Lav Davka, does that something have to be Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? Now, according to that mahalacha, the bir halacha, of course, so the only reason why women could be obligated in Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is not because of Dalet Kosos, but it's because of, it's because of the mitzvah of matzah. Okay, chevra. Any other ha'aros over here? I wanted to finish the siman today, but let's break now. Can we resume at 12:45 with some Gemara learning? That works? Okay, gentlemen, have a wonderful, see you in half an hour. Wonderful, blessed, marvelous day. Enjoy lunch. Kol tov.